We gather today on this Christmas day to bear witness once again to a simple truth. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, when God's people have tried to get their minds wrapped around what the glory of greatness of God is like, they have been drawn again and again to the image of light. The light in the window, the light on a candle, the light of the world. You see, in creation, God separated light from darkness, creating the greater light, which is the sun that shines in our sky, and the lesser light, the moon that shines at night. See, God stopped Moses in his tracks in the form of a burning bush, the light. You see, Jesus was the light coming into the world. The future vision at the end of the story is of a city that is so bright that there is no moon or sun to shine upon it. For the glory of God will be its light, and its lamp will be the Lamb of God, the Lamb. You see, you and I bear witness to the truth about ourselves, about our world. We try to describe what it means to live honestly and not falsely, hopefully and not in despair, faithfully and not superficially. And we could do much worse than this simple phrase of John the evangelist in chapter 1, verse 5, when he says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." You see, in this one verse, a universe of meaning is contained. First, there is darkness. Christians acknowledge that there is darkness, and we need to know that darkness is in the world. Someone told me one time that every time someone comes into the church and wants to be a member of this church, or someone comes and says, "Miss Melinda, I need to talk to you," or "Pastor Melinda, come here and let me tell you something. Something's happened in my life. My life has changed. I feel like I know the Lord, and I want He's in my heart." We need to tell somebody, even though that light and that goodness is there of God, we need to remind them also that there is darkness in this world, and that the devil is always at work, and the devil is the darkness, and that we need to be reminded of that all the time, because whenever things are going great and good, guess what? Do you think the devil is tickled to death? Oh, no. So he's conniving some way to try to do something, to put something in our way, a stumbling block, to cause us to turn. So you and I need to acknowledge that there is darkness in our world. Renowned novelist and author William Styron has written several books about other people's lives and also about his own. He wrote The Confessions of Nat Turner, which told the story of the darkness and the racial struggle that was in America many, many years ago, but continues to be in the world today. He wrote Sophie's Choice, which narrated the horror of the Holocaust and the decision that a person should never have to make. But later on in his life, Styron wrote a memoir called Darkness Visible, which turned out to be about his own struggle with depression, the darkness that he faced within his own life, the darkness that was within. In Styron's life and art, we see the truth that there is darkness, and that the darkness is both out there in this world that we live in, but it's also in here. Sometimes we project the darkness onto others. You know, we like to do that. We don't like to keep it for ourselves, or we like to share it with other people. We like to spread it around. We like to make other people real happy, don't we? Sometimes we like to say that it's that group over there, it's that particular race of people, it's that political party, that nation, but you see, the darkness is within us. And that is why we make the connection. Sometimes we deny that the darkness is within us. The power of William Styron's art across his lifetime was his willingness to see the darkness not only in the world, but also in himself. You know, we like to, you know, pass the buck. We like to share, as they say, the wealth. We really don't want to share the wealth. We want to share the pain. We want to give it to somebody else. We want to let others experience. You see, we need to be careful when we do those things, because you and I as Christians live in a world of darkness. You see, the Bible deals with darkness. "Why do you hide your face from me?" the psalmist asked God in Psalm 44:24. "Why do you hide your face from me?" Elijah is in a cave crying, "Woe unto me, Lord. You have forgotten me. You don't know where I'm at. You left me out here with these horrible people. What in the world is going on?" Jonah's in the belly of a whale saying, okay, Lord, what in the world's going on here? What's happening? You know, I don't like these people of Nineveh. They're the worst people I've ever met in my life. And now what am I doing in the belly of a fish? What's going on here? Jesus, even in the garden, asked, where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me? You see, then Jesus in 3 days is in a tomb descending into hell for your sake and for mine. All these things happen. Paul is struck blind on the road to Damascus. So darkness is in our world. Darkness is in this place. Darkness is in our word. Darkness is around us. But more than one person has noted that our culture wants to live, not only in denial of death, but also in denial of darkness. Some years ago, I was able to look at an aerial photo of the United States at night. It was fairly bright, especially east of the Mississippi and along the coastline. Across the country, there were a few patches of darkness. And to me, this could be an analogy of our spiritual lives. We are sometimes in denial about the darkness that is visible, that is right in front of us. The fighting within and the fears without, the demons that arrive at noonday and the scourges that dehumanize so many people across the world. Let us make the confession that there is darkness. Think about that, fightings within and fears without. Where do you hear those words? They're in a song. It says, just as I am, without one fear. Fightings within, fear, you know, there it is. It's something that we, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. We have to make a confession that there is darkness. But the thing about it, we don't have to live in that darkness. There is more. The Scripture says, the light shines in the darkness. Our spiritual rebirth happens when we turn down all the artificial lights that distract us, the things that are around us, those things that entertain us from time to time, those things that take our mind away from what's going on. To enter into the darkness so that you and I can see the true light that is coming into the world. You see, our Jewish friends are very good at this, using very little electricity as possible on Sabbath so that the candles make the light visible. And at Hanukkah, insisting that the light chases away the darkness. The more that you and I live in darkness, the greater our need is for the light. You see, the light shines in the darkness. So far, these are truths that are fairly evident to most people if they are obedient and if they are attentive. There is darkness. There is light. A secular radio anchor notes in passing to no one in particular, just saying on the radio, that the holidays bring out the worst and the best of people. I'm sure that you've seen that already this year. And I'm sure that you have heard that already this year. It does. It brings out the best and it brings out the worst. That can be said in our world today without any kind of conviction or belief. The Scripture, however, takes one more step, and it is the step of faith. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the promise of Christmas faith. The darkness has not overcome it. Light is stronger than darkness. You think about this year, you've heard a lot of good things about people who have been good Samaritans, people who have stepped in and purchased, went and paid off layaways for people, and it happened, started out west, and then it's traveled all the way to North Carolina, they said. And it happened all around. You see people doing more for others. You've seen more handouts. You've seen more people, not only a handout, but a hand up, hopefully, and prayerfully is what it was done for. You've seen lots of good things happen, and a lot of that was done in the name of the Lord. But there's a lot of it that wasn't. It was in good, just it being a good person. But we need to be careful, and we need to be, if we're a Christian, if we are of faith, what do we need to do? We need to let people know it. We need to not hide behind and say, oh, well, I just did it because, you know, it made me feel good. It's just something that I think I need to do. It's something that God commands us to do. We are to help people see the light that are in the darkness. We are to be that light for someone else. We are the ones that come to bring change because we know the one that is the change maker. That is what we are here about. You see, I'm reminded of people whom I've had the pleasure of ministering to over the years when I think about those who have the faith, those who have suffered from various forms of diseases, no matter where they are, no matter where they have been, many who have made a sacrifice each and every week of their life to be a part of a service, yet they were suffering from extreme pain. They might not make it every Sunday, but they come as often as they could. Or when I went to see them in their homes, always when leaving them, whether at home or at church, I would always hear these words. You know, we thank God for every day that He's given us. I hear these words. You see, I'll hear people say, God is good. God is gracious. He's good to us. I'm so thankful that He's given me this day. I'm so glad that I was able to get up this day. I'm so glad that my joints aren't hurting as bad today. You know, when you look at people, I've seen people with their hands gnarled and turned and bent with arthritis to the point that they couldn't do anything anymore. They couldn't even put their own clothes on. But yeah, they had a smile on their face. They said, God is good. He loves me. He's gracious. You see, let us not be silent about the darkness that is around us, because it is real. But let us pay attention to the light that shines in that darkness, because it is present. It is present here. But let us believe deeply in the promise of her faith. When we lit the candle last night at Christmas, for Christmas Eve service, to remind us of the Christ child, when the Christ candle was lit, it represents the hope of the world, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Even for those of us who have held candles in our hands before, it's always new. For those of us who gathered here last night and we lit our candles and we raised them and we turned the lights off and we sung Silent Night, it's always new. We read the same scripture every year. But it's new every year because it is the newness of who we are. It's the newness of our Savior's birth each and every year. It's the newness of being able to say, gosh, I get to begin again. I get to start over. I get to get stronger and better in who I am and who God has called me to be. You see, for even those of us last night, it's good news. Even all of us who could recite that story from Luke's gospel from memory, it's still good news. It's something that's needed to hear because it is a good word. It's a needed word. It's an honest word. And most of all, it's a hope-filled word. So the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word this day. Thank you, Lord, that your light shines in a dark world. Sometimes that darkness seems to consume people. It takes their very life. It takes so much away from them. They allow it to just eat at their heart and their soul. But you, Lord, in your wisdom, we acknowledge that there is darkness. But Lord, if we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you, you will help us to see the light, and you will help us each and every day to overcome that darkness that is there. Yes, bad things are going to happen, but with you beside us and with your faith upon us, good can come. So Lord, this day, remind us that the light shines in and through the darkness. Be with us now. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 217, Away in a Manger. Let's stand as we sing and find our hope in the Christ child.